This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in the NFL, week 16. That's 16 in a row. Haven't missed a week. No bye weeks here at This Week in the NFL. That's a first for us. We're going strong. We're excited for the playoff chase. Life is good. It's freezing cold here in New England. It was 8 degrees when I left my house this morning, and you know we're cranky. We're cranky Northeasterners today, so maybe that's what you're going to get. Anyway, just kidding, guys. Hope everyone's doing well. I'm your co-host, the Cowboy, joined as always by the highly knowledgeable and always controversial John D'Amato. John, what's going on, man?
You're not going to get any small talk or weather talk from me. That's boring stuff. We keep it exciting here. 2 weeks left and down to the nitty gritty.
There we go. So for those counting at home, it took John 6 seconds to shit on something I said this week. So I think that's a new record. That's a new record for the show. So congrats to John. Woo! Woo! And anyway, I love you anyway, buddy. I deserved it. I need someone to keep me in line when I'm off kilter. So we're recording here on a Thursday night. This is the first Thursday night with no football. Instead of a Thursday night game, we have, as is customary late in the season, we have 3 Saturday games and a Monday matchup as well as a Sunday night matchup. I kind of like the way this breaks out. So you want to get right to it, Johnny?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love it, too, because for a change, usually I did the 3 Saturday games, there's usually one meaningless, but they all have meanings involving teams in playoff contention, so it's good.
Absolutely. So I think that's a great place to start, John. We have Saturday, 1 o'clock, Houston at Tampa Bay. The schizophrenic Texans, hot off a blowout loss to the Broncos at home. Of course, they went into Tennessee and they won 24-21 in a game that really wasn't that close. They should have won the game by more. Watson had a couple of red zone turnovers. Really outplayed the Titans on both sides of the ball. Completely shut down Derrick Henry. Got their running game going with the immortal Carlos Hyde, who had 104 yards on his way to a 1,000-yard season, which not a lot of people saw coming. Shut down the Tannehill magic a bit, and here we are. So looking at the playoff chase in the AFC, the Texans have a 1-game lead on the Titans with the tiebreaker, but the tiebreaker is so I believe they have the overall tiebreaker.
Yes, they have the division. The Texans have the division record because. Right. The Tennessee lost to the Jaguars, so they got an extra loss. So
what you're telling me, John, is that this game, if the Texans win this game, they win the division.
Yes, sir.
Yes, all right, sir. And if the Titans lose their game, which they have the Saints coming into town, the Texans win the division. So the Texans are probably going to win the division. Based on that performance, what are your takeaways there, John? It was a good game, fun game to watch, but I never know whether I'm impressed with Houston or it's like I'm unimpressed because they don't do it every week.
Yeah, definitely schizophrenic, and definitely to reiterate what you said, it shouldn't have been that close. Watson had a couple of picks in the red zone. But also early in the game, a big pick by Tannehill in the red zone. It wasn't really a pick. It was one of those bang-bang deflection types where the receiver got hit at like the 1-yard line, and it was a deflection, and it got intercepted. And from there, it was like Tannehill was kind of rolling, and it looked like if they took a 7-0 lead, the Titans might have took charge of that game. But it seemed like that play, it sparked the Texans to jump out 14-0, and you saw a lot of Tannehill Miami type throws where he reverted. It seemed like that interception kind of shook him Tannehill back to reality, and we've seen the Tannehill that a lot of people know and don't really love so much.
With that said, he didn't play bad, and he led a nice – I mean, it was a nice little comeback they made. But as is the case sometimes, you blow your load making the comeback and then didn't have anything left for the end. I mean, I know that they – you know, Houston broke their backs with the field goals, 24-14 with whatever, 2 minutes left, right? So good win for the Texans. Tampa's out of the playoffs, but I think we should talk about what Jameis Winston's doing.
Oh my God,
for
yes,
a second. Yes. So Tampa, I mean, not that they were playing any world beaters, but went into Detroit and thumped them. And Winston, was he the first guy in history to pass for over 450 yards 2 weeks in a row? It was I know he turns it over. I know he turns it over, but at least in the second half of this season, I mean, I feel like he's turned a corner. I mean, his numbers are going to be ridiculous. Like, he's going to pass for over 5,000 yards. He's already got 30 touchdowns. I know he's got 24 picks, which is the downside. But to me, if you're them, he's shown me enough that you're making that long-term commitment. That I'd roll with him before, you know, looking to replace him with a rookie or something like that. I guess you can bring in competition, but I mean, they've been good. They've won four games in a row. You know, I mean, they took a little bit to figure it out, and Arians is a good coach, and I feel like he's turned this guy around.
Yeah, I give more of the credit to Arians, I think that Jameis, no matter what, he's you have to put up with it. If you re-sign him, you have to put up with two picks a game and maybe a fumble thrown in there. And I don't know if you could sustain. I mean, that'll get you to 8-8. But if they want to take the next step, they may have to go in a different direction. But that's all going to be on the coach. Arians has come in. He's proved it. He's turned it around. He's turned the team around, and it's going to be up to him to decide who he wants to, take the snaps.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little Brett Favre in him, John. Kind of just, you know, like a little more boneheaded Brett Favre.
Yeah, but on top of the 24 picks, 5 lost fumbles, too. So
I know.
29, that's
he's
got to
clean
two.
That up. But
that's over 2 turnovers a game, man.
I mean, he makes some plays that are just breathtaking, too, though. You know, like, yeah. I mean, it's like, it's trick-or-treat. I get that. But they're winning with him. And, I mean, not all of those games were easy games.
And he's got to get credit for making the receivers. Like Godwin is having a tremendous year. But him and Evans are out. That's another thing. So they're relying on Perryman, who's actually stepped up. He's got 5 TDs. It seems like everybody in that offense is going to get some rub. But he's going to rely on Perryman and Brait, the tight end. Because
OJ, too. OJ.
Yeah, and Godwin and Evans are out, so We'll see if that hinders them, but I'm gonna think that the Texans wrap up the division there.
Perryman, I mean, was a first round pick, and sometimes it takes receivers a while to develop. He's looked real good too. I mean, he looked great last week. I'm all in. I'm all in on this Bucs team. I like the Bucs.
It's Arians' offense. You shouldn't be surprised. He made a Carson Palmer, like a Pro Bowler for a few years. So.
Yeah, I don't think the Texans defensive backfield is ready for the Bucs passing attack.
Yeah, and the Texans are so up and down. It's not a confident pick, but I'm just going to go with them to squeak by. But
it would be Texans way to do it, right? To lose the Saturday game and then win the division when New Orleans beats Tennessee on Sunday.
Yeah, but also it could be warm in Tampa, so that may play a factor too. But this should be a good game. It's going to be an interesting game to start off the week.
Yeah, absolutely. Next up, right after that, offense. The one thing you can say about that game is you got Watson on one side. You got Arians, Watson and Hopkins and Will Fuller and Hyde and Duke Johnson and Jameis and the Arians offense and Breshad Perryman. And not a lot of defense. There's going to be some points in that game. You're going to immediately follow that with the Ice Bowl, too, here with Bills at Patriots.
All right, I'll humor you. What's the weather report for Saturday in New England?
Oh, I didn't even mean from a weather perspective. I mean, they played in September, and it was 16-10. You think they're going to score more now? Right? That was the final score, I believe, 16-10. I don't have it in front of me.
But. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was. Uh-huh.
So the Patriots coming off they beat the Bengals. Defensively, they played really well. Dalton, for whatever reason, you know, I kind of don't like the way it turned out because Dalton, like, just challenged Gilmore the whole game and just paid for it dearly. So now you probably won't see that too much in the playoffs. He may just be an eraser on his side of the field. But the Patriots' offensive woes continued. They did run the ball a little better, which is nice. But that could be more of a function of the awful Bengals defense than in the very good Patriots run game. So we'll see. This is a really tough game. The Bills are frisky. I mean, that's two nice wins for them in a row.
Yeah, on the road, especially we said many times that they hadn't beaten anybody for those first eight games.
Yeah, those
last two at Dallas and at Pittsburgh, very impressive. And also they hung tough in that Ravens game. So
yeah,
three games in a row.
And that at Pittsburgh, I mean, you would think that like for Pittsburgh, the Bills were kind of team they would want to play, right? A team that's not just gonna, you know, score a bunch on them, and they really beat Pittsburgh playing Pittsburgh style of game.
Yeah, well,
the duck wasn't all that impressive.
He threw a couple duck farts, farts up there.
You know, Josh Allen outplayed him, and the Bills just have more. You know, they have more horses, but this is a real tough game for the Patriots, and I mean, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Bills just come in and just flat out win the game. The Pats are always really tough at home. I mean, other than, you know, the Patriots kind of their mystique and their legacy and their history of always winning these games. Like, I think if you just looked at what these two teams have done for the last 8 weeks, that you would pick Buffalo. Buffalo has already won two big road games in a row. Buffalo's playing better than the Patriots. The Patriots' offense, as good as the Pats' defense is, like, I mean, I think the Bills are going to be able to move the ball more than the Patriots are going to be able to move the ball on Buffalo's defense. Buffalo's defense is very good, too, and the Patriots' offense really hasn't been very good. So I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to go with what my eyes have told me. And that is that right now Buffalo may just be the better team in this game. And I think I like Buffalo in this game by 3.
Yeah, the one thing I don't like is there's not going to be much sense of urgency on the Patriots because they know that they could beat Miami in that last week.
That's the other thing. They don't need it. They really don't need it. But the way they're playing, you really don't want to put it all on one game. Because they're certainly, you know, I'm sure Flores would love nothing more than to come in and cost the Pats the division for the first time in 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, but Buffalo's got at least a wild card clinch. So, but I look for as more, maybe not so much this week, but more to the playoffs that Allen is going to be a real weapon. He's going to be running. He's going to be taking a lot more shots on the running game. With his runs, Allen, and you know, when the playoffs, when it's all on the line, he's not going to have to save himself and then save himself from taking hits. He's going to be out there running a lot more like Lamar Jackson. So, and then that'll make them their offense a little more explosive.
Yeah, and I mean, the Patriots defense should have success in this game. Right, and I mean, I think that's really their best path to victory is turning Allen over once or twice and then protecting the ball on their side and kind of winning very similar to the way they won the first game, which is certainly possible. the pick is more. Buffalo has shown they can do it on the road. They're coming in hot. And I don't think they're going to be afraid of the moment. And I think they got a good shot.
I'm going to stick with your boys.
It's always, you know, that's probably where the smart money is, John.
Left 16-10, I'll go with about 17-10 on this one.
There you go. All right, next up. Nice little night game Saturday. Two teams that are struggling a little bit. But one really is, you know, on
last
the outside looking in for the playoffs. And the other with a real fluky kind of unexpected loss. So the Rams coming off a vicious beatdown at the hands of the Cowboys, of the floundering Cowboys. The Rams are Texans West. You just never know what you're going to get. At San Francisco, who dropped an important one on the last play of the game to the Falcons. I think they really miss Richard Sherman. The defense hasn't been the same since he got hurt. And I know it's not just him, but I mean, they're a team built on defense, the Niners, and their defense has taken a step back, and it makes them like they let Atlanta hang around in that game. They let Atlanta hang around, and Atlanta had a chance to win it at the end, and they did. And I really like the 49ers team, but they put themselves in a pretty difficult position here as the 5 seed now, right? So the Seahawks control their own destiny, and you know, you're looking at they're looking at potentially going to Dallas, right, or to Philadelphia during the first week of the playoffs. It's a tough spot for the Niners. The Rams, are all but eliminated. The Rams, if the Rams win their last two games and Minnesota loses their last two games, I believe the Rams would be in. Correct.
Yeah, it helps that that this game is on a Saturday. Because if they were playing, you know, if the Vikings were playing first and already had put up the W, then the Rams wouldn't be playing for anything. So that'll help. The Rams will still have a little bit of motivation to hang on there. And the 49ers, too, they know that they could pull out that last game at Seattle and take the division.
Correct. So I like the Niners to right the ship here. I think the Rams are kind of a sinking ship. Their offense, again, just looked brutal. It was just like they reverted right back to 3 weeks ago against the Cowboys. And even a depleted Niners defense, I think, is going to give them a lot of trouble. And I like Jimmy G to have a big game. I think they're going to have a big game offensively here. Like, I actually like the Niners to kind of blow out the Rams. That's my prediction.
I think it'll be a little closer. The Rams will show some fight, but at the end, it'll be the 49ers. But that last week, that was just the after effects of three tough games, the Niners. Green Bay, Baltimore, and then New Orleans. Three contenders in a row. And they did all right. They went 2-1. This was your typical trap game where they just totally overlooked Atlanta. And supposedly, Sherman, even though he's banged up, the last report was he's going to try to play.
He's going to try to play in this one.
Yeah,
he's pretty far ahead of his timetable.
Yeah,
he knows they need him. He's a warrior, Richard Sherman.
Yeah, this is Thursday. You know, a lot. You know, with those injuries, you know, a lot of things changed. But that was the last.
This is true.
I just got a. I got a question. Okay, so the Seattle lost to the Rams and they beat the Niners. So Seattle only has one division loss. So would the Niners? How would that tiebreaker break out? Say the Niners lost this game. They'll take them to 4 losses. And they beat Seattle in the last week, and they both wind up at 12-4 with the same division record, and splitting in the and they split head to head. So what will be the next tiebreaker?
Is it conference?
Yeah.
They're both 8-2 in the conference right now. So I guess if they, well, they would both be, because they're both playing conference games, right? So they would still have the same. I don't know, John. We're going way back, way deep into the tiebreaker, into the tiebreaker realm.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Okay, well, we'll come up with that before, if it comes to that. But otherwise, the Niners, if they take care of business, they won't have to worry about it then, because they could stay. If they just win the last two games, they'll be one game ahead of Seattle.
Yep. And real quick, John, how about them Giants? Got Miami, went to New York. Eli went out there, got a W at home. The Giants stumped him, 36-20. Saquon finally looked like Saquon. A nice happy ending for Eli. Were you happy with that?
Yeah, that was the one Shermer, the one thing that he handled right was giving the proper send off. One out of 100 is what is it? The broken clock, right twice a day.
Broken clock, right twice a day. Correct.
Well, yeah, Shermer got one right. I'm still waiting for the second time he gets something right. You know, hasn't happened yet. But we already spent too much time on Miami Giants. But just one thing, you know, Miami is fought hard and they got to 3 wins, which is a miracle. But if you want to. If they were ever investigated for tanking, did you see that play where they had it on the 1 yard line and they gave it to the slow running back Laird on a sweep like 4 yards into the end zone and he got tackled in the end zone? So if Miami was ever accused of tanking, that would be like a play that would be like play number one that they would bring up saying.
I don't think they're tanking. I just think they're not very good.
I know, but that was just that was just a ridiculous play to run a sweep from 4 yards deep in the end zone with a not exactly a speedy running back.
So on Sunday, John, we have some good matchups. The aforementioned New Orleans at Tennessee has some playoff implications. New Orleans just put it on the Colts on Monday night. I mean, just virtuoso Breeze performance, just an really incredible performance by Breeze. 29 of 30, broke the NFL record there in the same game that he broke the NFL record for touchdown passes. The Colts, back to the drawing board.
I just got to say, the guy was wide open on the one incompletion. He overthrew him.
I know. You know,
should have been 30 for 30.
We're holding him to a little bit of a higher standard there. Come on, Drew.
No, that was it's between that and also the Colts kind of with all that stuff with Luck. They hung in there for a while, but the Colts just ran out of gas the last couple of weeks. You see their heart was taken out.
Yeah, once New Orleans went up 10 in that game, it's over. You know what I mean? It was over. But so regardless, New Orleans has been is coming in hot, playing well. Obviously, the loss to San Francisco was tough, but it's not like they played bad in that game. So their offense is playing well. At Tennessee, outdoor, Tennessee has to win the game, right? Well, to your point, right? If Houston wins, Tennessee's playing for nothing. Wild card.
They're still alive for the wild
card. I'm crazy. Never mind. So no. Tennessee, sorry about that, guys. I've had a long couple of days.
That's okay. No, they're still going to be playing for something no matter what, Tennessee. The wild card's in play.
Right. With the Duck has the sixth seed right now, so.
But what that Falcon loss that the 49ers kind of opens the door for the Saints to get number one seed, to get the number one seed. Now, if it comes down to the last game, and like we said, and Seattle wins the division, the Saints have the tiebreaker over Seattle because the Saints beat Seattle. Now, of course, if the Saints and the 49ers tie, the 49ers get number one seed because the 49ers beat the Saints head to head. So
But the Packers, I think, have the tiebreaker, too. The Packers have the tiebreaker on the Saints. I know that.
Okay. Because of the because the Saints got three conference losses, right? Okay.
Yeah. So if the
so they would need a Green Bay loss to Minnesota. Sure.
Correct. If Minnesota beats Green Bay, that because the Packers are playing Detroit the last game of the season, so it's really going to be the Green Bay game. I mean the Minnesota game.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I mean Minnesota could very well beat them. It's a good game. But do you see? I mean, the Titans are going to be fighting hard in this one. The Saints and Breeze traditionally are not as good outdoors. I personally think they're just a better team, and I think Tennessee will put up a heck of a fight in this game. But I think that the Saints are gonna end up taking it in the end.
Yeah, I like the Saints too, and I want to reiterate. I've been saying it week by week. It's not really the old Saints. They're actually a lot. I think they're better on the road. Their one road loss this year was to the Rams, which is tough. And otherwise, their other two losses were at home. So they've been a lot better on the road. It's not the the old Saints that were kind of soft. That were only like home bullies. They're strong on the road, so I'm going to go with them in a close one here. The Titans are going to fight hard, but I'm going with the Saints.
All right, and then speaking of the AFC wild card, the current number 6 seed, we've alluded to it a couple of times, is the Duck. Pittsburgh Steelers, the Duck. The Duck, not a very good quarterback. they don't look like a playoff team. I'll just say it like that.
I
give them all the credit in the world. They got nothing. I mean, they have nothing. Their defense is good, but I mean, it's so tough to win with a guy like that at quarterback. And then to their credit, they've done it. I see this as a possible upset game this week. We have Pittsburgh going to the Jets. The Jets, who are not good, but they do have 5 wins, right? And they have played better of late. They're at home, and Pittsburgh's the kind of team that can just lose to anybody because I don't think, I mean, with him playing quarterback, right? I mean, they're not capable of scoring more than 24 points. I think that's the cap, right? Without at least without a defensive touchdown or two. So, man, I'm real on the fence. I'm real on the fence. So the Jets last week took a tough loss at Baltimore in a game that they had no chance of winning. Right, but they didn't play that bad in that game. Lamar Jackson was awesome, right? But the Jets scored some points against a pretty good defense, and I think I like the Jets in this one, John. I think I like the Jets at home to pluck the Duck, as they say.
Yeah, the Juju's injury really friggin' killed any chance of the Steelers getting any kind of offensive momentum. It's the same thing this week. He might play, but we said the same thing last week. It's just he's in and out of practice, and that's really hurting them because they can't just run on the Jets. They need to mix it up or something, but I'm going to go with the Steelers in a 13-10 slugfest. Their defense has been outstanding, so and they'll make a couple plays, most likely force a Darnold turnover or two.
And the Ducks giving it right back, though. The Ducks giving it right back.
Damn, you lost one bad game, and you're off the duck wagon.
The duck boat.
The duck boat.
I actually, watching him, what I like about him is, I mean, he's definitely got, he doesn't have a lot of, like, skill, right, and talent.
Yeah.
But he's got a pair. I mean, he's got a pair, yeah, and I think that's what Tomlin likes about him. And he at least gives his guys a chance downfield. Like the last two interceptions, I mean, against Buffalo, he's throwing the ball in the end zone and trying to give his guys a shot, right? I mean, you can't fault him for that. And I don't dislike the Duck. I like guys. He's got some moxie, that's for sure. He gives him a lot more than Rudolph, who has the better pedigree, but is just not, you know, a check down Charlie and just sucks. So I do like the Duck, but I just don't think the Duck is like an NFL caliber quarterback. And not that the Jets are great, but it would be a nice prideful win for the Jets. Be kind of a, like, kind of a game with, like, this is like a game that the Jets win to save Gase's job.
So,
speaking of saved jobs, we got to talk about this. Did you hear the big news? Came out yesterday.
Yes, somebody got fired 15 minutes earlier than he expected.
Matt Patricia. Cool.
Oh, Matt Patricia's coming back. Oh,
Matt Patricia, yeah. Who was on the hottest of hot seats with the hottest of hot plates. They gave him they said Patricia and the GM, right, are both coming back.
Yeah.
They get one more shot at it.
The dreaded vote of confidence. Well, yeah.
What the fuck have they done? Has he done to earn that? He's a defensive guy, and their defense is an abomination. Their offense is actually, even with Blow, the offense has not been that bad. But the defense, they can't stop anybody. That's what he's supposed to do. And like we said, his last game in New England, Tom Brady threw for 500 yards, and the Patriots didn't punt, and he fucking lost. So Matt,
that's the,
you're a lucky
the old
duck.
School the old school reasoning is that you got to give a coach at least 3 years, but it, with most coaches it looks like it's been chopped down to two, but Detroit is going to be going to give them the 3-year plan and see what changes. But I don't see it. I guess they gave him a break because Stafford got hurt, so you can't really judge him, on that.
But you can judge him on the defense, John.
It's Detroit.
Judge him on
the
defense. But I don't agree with it. But it's good for us because he's such a big part of our show. No pun intended there. That we're happy to have him. So we got that one, and then an ex-Giants coach in the news. Pretty the NFLPA filed a massive grievance against the Jacksonville Jaguars for fining guys for missing mandatory medical treatments when in the collective bargaining agreement these treatments could not be mandatory. There was one player who was fined $750,000 for these treatments, and the NFLPA was able to get the money back. And that player outed himself on Twitter as Dante Fowler, who is a talented guy who they just let go, who they picked second or third overall. And I don't know, did you read that letter that the NFLPA wrote?
Yeah, they recommended.
The NFLPA in the letter, in the official letter about the grievance, specifically said that, I'm going to paraphrase, that any free agents should really think twice before going to this organization because they're operating outside the rules. Yeah. And that's Commander Coughlin at his finest. Just hard ass without, you know, without that, you know, not a player's GM to say the least. So clearly Shad Khan did the right thing, but I mean, you have to fire the guy after that. I mean, I've never seen that in any of the major sports where a union comes out and says, don't go to that team.
Yeah, that's a horrendous look, and it's the word is that he was going to step down at the end of the year, but as soon as that came out, the owner had to make an immediate move and tell him goodbye immediately. And it's a miracle that Marone outlasted Coughlin.
Do you think so? Khan came out and said that Marone's directly reporting to him for the last two games of the season, and he's expecting results.
Yeah, that'll be the last two games he ever coaches Marone. That's it's not exactly a bold prediction. That'll be the last two games he ever coaches in the NFL.
So they have Atlanta this week, and they close the season out with the Colts. Not out of the realm of possibility that the mustache gets wins in both of those games, and they're coming off. We can talk about the Raiders next. I knew I'd catch my stride, John. So they're coming off a very nice victory. Oakland, last game in Oakland. These poor fans, what they've been put through, having to root for this joke of a franchise. It looks like, it looks like roses, right? The Raiders are ahead. Jacksonville's openly gave up on their coach like 5 weeks ago, right? But the Raiders are letting them keep it close. And then, in true Raider fashion, Derek Carr scrambles. He slides to stay in bounds so that the clock runs down to the two-minute warning. And the Jaguars only had one timeout. So it would have essentially made it so Minshew only had 25 seconds or something to get the job done. Inexplicably, the refs call him out of bounds, and it's not. And then Chucky tries to challenge, and it's not reviewable. So it's a free timeout for the Jaguars. The Raiders get stopped. Carlson misses the field goal. The Jaguars jump off sides, and Carlson misses again. Minshew takes the Jaguars down. It throws the game-winning touchdown pass with about 15 seconds left to send the Raiders out of Oakland with a big old L and to eliminate from the playoffs at the same time. What a day, John. What a day.
Well, you had said they already exceeded your expectations. You had them for like a 4-12, and I had them at 8-8, so it would be appropriate if they lost their last two, and we'd both be wrong, and they get the 6-10 down the middle. But the bigger thing is it might be a blessing because I think Gruden absolutely knows that he's got to move on from Carr, and his legacy and his success for the next few years is going to be what quarterback he chooses to replace Carr. So it might be a blessing that Carr didn't continue to fool him like he did in the beginning of the year with the wins. And I think Gruden will know that he's definitely got to move on.
I think they have to move on from Carr too. I mean, really, what you've seen over the last 4 weeks is really kind of like what I thought this team was from the beginning. And when the bottom fell out, holy shit, did it fall out, right? I mean,
weak defense, yeah. They still need some playmakers on defense. Maybe they could trade for Khalil Mack.
But I do, I don't blame Gruden. I don't blame Gruden. I feel like I got to – having – I watch their games. I try to watch all the games. But I do pay special attention because I came out so hard against them. And he is, he's all in. He's all in. And yeah, he's not a bad coach. So maybe he can get it turned around. They're going to the Chargers in a meaningless game. I like the Chargers by at least 10 in that one, given the way that the Raiders have played. You could take that one to the bank.
Who do you see? Who do you see Gruden going after to replace Carr? Nathan Peterman, or you think
he's got him already? He loves Peterman.
Somebody that's not.
It's tough because there's not Cam. I mean, he's going to be available, right? It's just. Like, good quarterbacks aren't available. If the Bucs don't re-up with Jameis, that would be a perfect guy for him, but I don't think that's going to happen. right? I mean, think about who's available. It's so tough, right? I mean, unless, you know, they could draft somebody, right? There's a good quarterback class coming out.
What about Teddy Bridge?
I mean, is he any better than Carr? I don't know. I mean, I think they're kind of similar. Kind of both afraid to throw the ball downfield, and you know, they're both like accurate. I mean, I like Bridgewater, but I mean that Saints offense is. I mean, he looked good. It took him a little bit to get warmed up, and he looked good quarterbacking the Saints offense. But I mean, the weapons that he had on that Saints offense were, you know, were quite a bit different than what he would have.
It's going to be interesting who he comes up with, man. There's going to be a lot of mix with the quarterbacks. So maybe he'll make a Tannehill offer. Who knows?
The Duck?
Nah, come on. I think it's only the first year. I don't think the Duck's going to be available.
I mean, I don't know. There's just not a lot of guys that come available. All right, John. So the computer I'm on here is at 5%. So we gotta hustle. I apologize. I'm unprepared tonight. So Dallas at Philadelphia. Game is for the NFC East, basically, right? Although it would be the most Dallas thing ever if they win and then fucking lose the last week of the season to lose the division. But the
The Redskins are tough nut, but if this is it though, because Dallas would have a sweep on them.
Right. This is.
So they can't lose the division. If they win this, they sweep Philly. They got it.
Oh, correct. I'm sorry.
Nah, no worries. This is the one game I like because this is pretty much a playoff game right here.
This is it.
Yeah, loser goes home.
Philly's at home. Dallas coming in off a big win. I mean, they played great. I mean, they played absolutely great against.
Yeah, they went to smash mouth physical football
against the Rams.
They ran it right down their throat with Zeke and Pollard. They got to stick with it. Even though Dallas has been better at home this year, I like how they've played in the past Philly. I think they won in Philly about six out of the last seven in Philly. So, and although the coaching matchup favors Peterson. Garrett's been okay versus Peterson. He's held his own. He's actually gotten the better of him. So I'm going to go with Dallas. Philly's a
bad team, John. That's my big take. That's my big take. These have been must win games. I mean, they barely beat Washington. I mean, they probably should have lost that game. Wentz doesn't really have anybody to throw to, and he's not playing real well. Miles Sanders has been really good for them. But their pass defense sucks. And, I mean, Dak leads the league in passing yards, or he did. I think James is Jameis now. It's close. But, I mean, they have no answer for Cooper and Gallup. I mean, the Cowboys should be ashamed of themselves if they lose this game. And Garrett's legacy is that he loses this game. I mean, that's his history, is that he loses this game. But this Eagles team is so bad that I think Dallas comes out, and I think they try to give it away, and Philly won't take it, and Dallas just gets it done, just based on talent.
The only thing I can see is on the opposite, Peterson's legacy in his short term is that he wins these games, and he pulls off the Philly specials and wacky 2-point conversions, going for a fourth down in his own territory, so. Look to see a lot of that. I think that'll make it a close one. Philly will make it close, but I think Dallas can pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather that Philly won because I think they would have no chance of winning that home game.
And then
the nine and seven home game.
Yeah, because Dallas just smoked the Rams, who smoked Seattle the week before. So I can see Dallas beating Seattle.
I'd like
Seattle.
The winner of this division to not be rewarded with a playoff victory.
Hey, listen, 9-7. You know, I hate to say it, but the last nine team to win a Super Bowl 9-7, they beat the Patriots.
Jesus Christ! Yep,
Sorry, I got to live on the History Channel. You know,
it's true.
I got to live off
you know what?
8 years ago glory or whatever.
Maybe the Cowboys will make the miracle run and win the Super Bowl. They have the talent too. The Eagles don't. The Eagles are not a good team. So I like Dallas. I'm rooting for Philly.
No, but Dallas has the talent though, and their defense really stepped up. Sean Lee, when he's healthy, he only plays about 6-7 games a year, but when he does, he's a force in there.
I mean, Dallas has one of the most talented rosters in the whole NFL. I mean, they're loaded.
Yeah, look at the Pro Bowl. Three of their offensive linemen made the Pro Bowl, so they got down to smash mouth and they took over in the trenches versus the Rams. They controlled the line of scrimmage, and they could do that versus Philly too.
All right.
So how about
more.
Them Cowboys?
We got one more.
How about them Cowboys?
Green Bay at Minnesota.
Yeah, just another game. This is another game where the stakes are kind of lackluster because even if Green Bay loses, all they got to do is win in Detroit the last week and they got the division. So you always got to take in the motivation. And even Minnesota might know that, and they might be holding out Dalvin Cook for a wild card game instead of going all out to win this game where they're still going to wind up not winning the division.
Right.
So that kind of
thing. He's probably not going to play. He shouldn't play. I mean, he's such a huge part of their offense that they shouldn't risk him. I mean, they could theoretically beat Green Bay without him too at home. You know, I mean, they're playing well. Green Bay finally had a pretty good performance last week. And again, though, they kind of let Chicago hang around.
Hey, that last play, that was one lateral away.
I know.
The guy was wide open, and the Bears could have tied it up on that last miracle lateral play.
I like the Vikings. I just don't like the way Green Bay's been playing. They're kind of doing the thing that you don't like about Seattle, where they just let everybody hang in the game. I'm going to go with the Vikings here.
Yeah, I hate to do it, but I got to agree. I'm going to go with the Vikings, and because Green Bay doesn't have that desperation. They know they could just show up and the last week beat Detroit and take the division. So I'm going with the Vikings too.
All right, John. I think that covers it. We're going to run out of juice here, but I do have to talk a little bit about all the other things we have going on at Place to Be Nation. You ready?
Yes, sir.
On the wrestling feed, Place to Be podcast number 537, take a listen to that. JT Scott and guest Peter Winston take a look at the 223.90 main event. And you don't know Billy Jack, number 10. Drew and Jordan take a look at the heavy classic that is Akira Hokuto and Shinobu Kandori from April of 1993. On episode number 2 of With This Ring, Ryan and Cindy continue going over their GWWE list with a look at bloodbaths. On PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance number 12, JT, Jenny, and the one and only John D'Amato continue their ECW adventure with 4 episodes of ECW TV from the summer of 1994. The main event reaction special stars Scott and guest Dr. G to break down the NWA Into the Fire pay-per-view from Atlanta. On Body Press Your Luck number 2, defending champion Ryan Everett battles Ed Bennett and Scott Shiplett, featuring a romp through the legendary DVDVR sleaze thread. Chris Zellner and Devin Hales are back to bring you a decade-capping review for 2019's TLC from Indianapolis on the PTBN Reaction Show. Also, be sure to check out the Pop Feed, littered with great content offering tremendous shows like This Week in the NFL, Hard Traveling Fanboys, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, The Year in Pop, Laugh-In Theater, DC for You, Marvel Age, the Brother-Sister Rewatch Podcast, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories, Journey Through Infinity, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in the opening round. There will be 4 matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. And keep an eye out for Sledgehammer, the official sitcom of This Week in the NFL. It's got a tough matchup coming up, but I know that if we stuff the ballot box and do, fake accounts, That's the way to do it. Either that or make sure you get all your friends to vote for Sledgehammer. John?
Trust me, I know what I'm doing.
There we go. Be sure not to forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the PTBN homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. While you're on Amazon, check out a new book by longtime PTBN fan Adrian Cotton, AWO, Big Time Players, Episode 1, The Beginning of Change. It's a vivid description of the debut edition of the AWO's weekly television program, Big Time Players. Finally, for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project, visit our social media pages as ballots are now open, and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots are due 12/31/19. A lot of great stuff. I hope everybody enjoys this week. It's going to be a fun Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And John and I will be back for you for week 17. So enjoy the week, everybody. It's going to be a great week of football.
Yes, sir.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.